This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I hurt myself today.
He willed us on a few of those fourth downs and extending those drives to even put us in a position. So we're not the same team without Josh Allen, and it's not even close.
Fourth down and 13 yards from the Kansas City 27. Josh looks, pumps once, fires a strike into the end zone, man wide open, touchdown! Gabriel Davis, touchdown Buffalo, and they take the lead with a minute 54 to go.
I don't know what this team's going to look like next year, but it probably isn't going to look the same. You know, you work so hard and you want it so bad. It's tough.
Snap to Mahomes, back to throw. Fires down the middle. This one caught by Tyreek Hill at midfield. Scoots around the right side into Buffalo territory. Inside the 20, at the 10. He is headed to the end zone, and he is in. Touchdown, Kansas City. Oh, my goodness.
No more Josh Allen slander from me. I tip my cap, sir. As someone who was rooting for the other team, he was terrified.
Every pressurized situation you could possibly be confronted by, he was and stood up.
Josh takes shotgun snap, looks, steps up, has time, fires to the end zone, caught, touchdown, Buffalo! Are you kidding me? Gabriel Davis again! Unbelievable, the Bills get the lead back again.
But the number one defense has 13 seconds to stop, even if it is Patrick Mahomes. You got 13 seconds.
The snap and the quick pass to Tyreek Hill has a couple of the blockers in front of him. Driving upfield and gets all the way up to the 44-yard line. A gain of 19 yards. Chiefs ready to go. 8 seconds left. First down. Patrick Mahomes takes the snap. Pats it, throws it. Connects with Kelce at the 40-yard line. Driving forward and he gets down to the Buffalo 30-yard line. Now it's trouble, and now with 3 seconds left, here comes Harrison Butker.
Maybe one of the biggest errors that I've seen, and look, Sean McDermott, a ton of respect for him as a football coach, but how in the heck you don't squib that thing is beyond me.
I don't want to really get into specifics overall. I mean, there's things we talked about, and we can just execute better, and that starts with me and goes all the way down.
Buffalo, you're still the visiting team. What is your call? We have a coin, heads and tails.
Tails.
Tails is the call. Hit his head.
Mahomes in the gun, takes a snap, looks to throw, pumps once, fires towards the end zone, and it is caught. Touchdown, Kansas City, and the game is over.
I love our teammates. I love our coaching staff. Unfortunately, it's probably going to be the last time that every guy in this building is going to be here. So it's a tough day. So next year, we got to find a way to move forward and do whatever it takes to bring one home here at Buffalo.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I will let you down.
I don't even know, Bulldog, if they need us. Joe, I mean, there it all was. How long does it take to get over a loss like that? Well,
not yet.
Let's say at least 17 hours, right? At least 17 hours. Somewhere between 17 hours and 100 years.
I mean, I didn't need Johnny Cash covering Trent Reznor to get me in a depressed state. I'm pretty much hanging there. That's where I am. if you thought you were making headway, I'm sorry if you just listened to that and it just dragged you back down. Man, 13 seconds.
Are you more mad or sad?
I mean, I could go either way. We'll see what the 4 hours holds here. I think more sad than mad. I feel like, you know, the yelling would just be to try to cover up the sadness. Like, the anger would just be to try to cover up the sadness. There are definitely things to be mad about, and just, you know, questioning, you know, the kickoff, the coverage, and all of it with 13 seconds to go, let alone the other, you know, 59 minutes of the game. But, you know, it was going your way there right up until that final series.
Those three plays before the field goal to tie the game bring up the mad percentage a lot.
Yeah.
If it's 30 seconds, the Bills do everything the same. 30 seconds, you know, maybe you do kick it deep with 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. You still have to play defense. It's not all about the Hail Mary. Your linebackers aren't 20 yards downfield or something. Like, you're playing more like what you normally would play. And Kansas City gets there, and the overtime's the same. I don't know. Like, I'd hate it, but it's more you lost an awesome game to a great team. And yeah, that happens in sports.
Yeah, right.
But
this feels more like you screwed up.
Yes.
Because there were only 13 seconds to go, and they played the way they played on defense, and the kickoff went the way the kickoff went, and just, you know, just they had three, you know, those are three plays. The kickoff and then those two passes, one to Hill, one to Kelsey, and the Bills just missed on all three. And it cost them a game and a fantastic look at not just getting to the Super Bowl, but maybe winning the Super Bowl. And that is that, and that's the sadness. Like, there's madness wrapped up in the sadness, but I feel very much like, I don't want to start making comparisons. We'll see what comes out here as the day goes on. We've got plenty to refer to from our past here, and nothing has to be exactly the same or even that similar, but they had a tremendous opportunity with the health of their team, with the way that they were playing, especially on offense, and getting Patrick Mahomes out of the way to host the AFC title game against an opponent that they would have been pretty heavily favored against. And when do you think, you know, when's that come around again? Maybe next year, maybe never. You just don't know. Sometimes you don't, you know, we don't get to know in the moment whether this is as good as it's going to get.
That's how I felt.
As far as opportunity to win a championship goes.
That's how I felt last year, too. I'm sorry. I just wanted to keep going, but I just wanted to interject that. That was a big one for me last year because they were new to it last year, but it was still a great team that could have done it. You know, and a three-point underdog in Kansas City last year. So, but this year did happen, and they were as good or better.
Yeah, I mean, they were – boy, the concerns we had about this offense last year in the playoffs were just blown out of the sky by Josh Allen and that offense and what they did in these two playoff games. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, again, that doesn't have to carry over to two more games – or even one more game, but man, it was just right there. Allen hits Davis with that fourth touchdown of the night, and there's 13 seconds to go, and it's time to start making plans to go to L.A., I think, for a lot of people. And instead, you just get, you know, another masterclass in, you know, working on the assembly line at the Factory of Sadness. That's where we all punched in, and here we are.
Another soul-sucking playoff loss. Yeah,
and I don't mean just, you know, you and me here sitting here. I mean everybody. We're all here.
Yeah. Well, this game goes up there with only a couple others. I mean, not every team has a list to begin with, but this team definitely does. And, you know, Music City Miracle is similar, where you're playing a good team, if not a great team, and you have it, and you blow it. That's what that was.
Yep.
And, you know, okay, the officiating, you can make that excuse, but you still blew it. Like, I was on team kick it deep in the moment last night, but once I do, I still got to win that game. It doesn't
right.
really, it doesn't ruin me that they kicked in into the end zone. You know, it was
right.
just
20. The Chiefs at their 25-yard line with 13 seconds to
right.
go, even with three timeouts, should not. I don't know what the win probability would have been for them at that point, but
it
could not have been good.
I know one model. I just saw Brian Burke from ESPN that his model had the Chiefs at 4.1% before the kickoff, and it or 3.4% before the kickoff, and then 4.1% after. So it helped them, but it did not really move the number. You know,
it just didn't.
It was the other idea was a seems like the right idea. Why am I sure everybody knows? Because we sit here after every loss and sound like we know everything, you know. But I certainly don't think that. I know you don't. And sometimes, you know, like I would have kicked it deep. I was saying it in here last night. So, Music City Miracle, similar in this way. Super Bowl 25.
That
as it happens,
right?
It was a kickoff. Super Bowl 25 is another one where, you know, we've been sitting here for more than 30 years. So what if you called this time out? What if you did this? You know, were the laces out? Just like for 30 plus years, going on toward infinity, we do that. That was similar, too, because you had, like, the team, and that's how this feels. Last year didn't feel that way after that game. You know, it always baffled me that they lost the way they did last year, but the Chiefs deserved it. You know, they beat them in the regular season and were much the better team in that game. So, you know, go fix what's broken. That is an interesting topic right now for this team, because what exactly is broken? I mean, their defense was great. Is the coaching staff broken? Well, first of all, they're probably likelier than not to lose Daboll or Frazier. You know, right? Like, one of them, maybe? Daboll, maybe? Giants or Bears?
Daboll's going for a second interview with the Giants, and they just hired the Bills' assistant GM to be their GM.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that feels, you know, that's nothing's certainty until it's all signed, but that feels pretty good for Daboll. I don't know about Leslie Frazier. I mean, I know about Leslie Frazier all along, just because of his age, but last night could not have possibly helped him in any way, and been possibly, quite possibly, hurt him.
It's tough when you draw Mahomes in the playoffs in Arrowhead. That's the game you need for your resume. But I hear you.
Yeah, there is a lot of. You know, this is a big game. It's a marquee game. It was an incredible game, one of the best games that's ever been played in the playoffs. And most of, you know, the deep analysis of that final 13 seconds is, you know, screenshots of what are these guys doing? What's the purpose of that? And that's Leslie Frazier. I mean, his name's on the door. So I think if he were... Let's put this, I think if the Bears were thinking about hiring him, they might have thought better of it after that. And I know that might sound reactionary, but, I mean, do you want to have a news conference and introduce the guy that choreographed that?
Not really. So, since you asked. McDermott, though. Like, okay, the defensive coordinator of a defense that was tops in the league. And amazing the week before in the playoffs. You know, it's a hard one, I think. No. The head coach, though, I some of the decisions, there weren't that many, but some of the usual brand of game day decisions that came along last night are kind of a blur still now. I mean, the 13 seconds is the game. You have survived everything. And Allen and Davis lifted you to the lead in that moment. And whether or not they punted in the first quarter, I mean, they did once. And maybe it was the second. Well, maybe it wasn't the first quarter. But
I kind of feel like I'd be a lunatic complaining about
it. I know. Like, it's an issue. It's been an issue with him. And I think some of that needs to get better. But I think anybody, and I'm not his biggest fan, let me tell you, but I think anybody sort of thinking that way about Sean McDermott, come on. Like, look at what this franchise has become versus what it was before. I mean, that's just easy. No one's signing up for that outside of, you know, angry fans. I'm not saying that there isn't an argument. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I wouldn't hire Leslie Frazier because he coaches defense, period. I wouldn't have hired Sean McDermott because he coached defense, and that's how I felt then. I wouldn't have hired any of these guys. In this league, what did you see last night? You saw this game go along just fine until the team with the ball needed a touchdown, at which time it was pedaled down, ball down the field, and both teams did it immaculately. No resistance. To the point at which we go, the coin toss was the football game. Like, when you had four downs, well, think about that drive to take the lead at 29-26. I mean, the Bills have fourth down conversions. They don't really have the option of kicking. So they don't, and they scored a touchdown. And that's what happened all the time in this league if teams behaved that way. But they don't. And the overtime started, I told you last night, I'm like, oh, good, handoffs, and maybe a punt. Like, right, the Chiefs right. are fourth and four at their 31, they punt there. Probably, because the game's over if they don't make it. And they were, mm-hmm. you know, it's Andy Reid. He does the same. McDermott yeah. learned from him. They both did it last night. And I think I'm not thinking this way at all about McDermott. And in areas like this, there has been big progress. You know, even this year, even last night, the first drive of the game.
But in the moment, right? You're calling timeout after the kickoff. You're calling timeout before the Kelce play, and the Chiefs calls or whatever.
No,
there's
the Bills
timeout.
Did. The Bills
yeah,
did twice.
Right. Okay, they used two right. timeouts in that sequence,
you're right?
Right.
Yep.
The Chiefs used two of theirs too, I think, once to set up the field goal. And either way,
yeah.
you had time to like get everything right and button everything up. And so, sure, Frazier, you know, is easy. You know, he's a candidate for head coaching jobs, and I just said what I said about hiring him right now. But, like, McDermott is, you know, talk about names on the door. Like, his is on the marquee, not just the door. And what was that plan on those two plays, especially the second one? I just don't, for the life of me, understand why you played that the way you played it. Not chipping Kelce at all. Not there's an argument to be made probably for just tackling Kelce if you want to. But just letting him run free and having the only guy on that side of the field, he's defending grass. Poor Levi Wallace out there. What is he doing? Here comes Kelce just straight up off the line of scrimmage running to a wide open area. And I don't understand what happened there. And McDermott should have to carry that.
Well, they lost, so he does, you know. they lost, so he does. Do you see about how that play was improvised?
Yes.
It's pretty good. I mean, I think I made a Jordan Pippen passing comment last week. Those two guys, you know. Kelce has the idea at the line, go to the open space or something of the sort, and Mahomes is calling out the play, like, do it, Kelce. And so he doesn't turn into Milano. Milano's in the middle, kind of maybe expecting him, and Kelce just goes vertical. And the ball, as soon as he turns around, the ball is there, and it's in his pocket. So that's perfection, but, you know, maybe if you have a guy on him, or at right. the line of scrimmage too, you know, they did rush. This was on my mind a lot last night. They did rush four on that play, and really, I don't get that. I don't know why you would think you would need that unless you're playing against a Hail Mary. They weren't exactly lined up for that.
No,
but you know, I just think he's gonna he does anyway on every play. He's gonna get rid of the ball in 2.5 seconds at the most. He has to. This is the game. If this pass is incomplete, they're screwed. So he has to get rid of the ball fast. It's their only hope. What's your pass rush going to do? Back up. Travis Kelce is like a lineman running down the field. Anyway, back up. So that part of it makes you mad.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Fine. You're spooked by Tyreek Hill, the possession before. So Poyer and Hyde are, you know, they're not even on the screen. you know, as this play, like, you know, the angles that I've seen. I mean, they're back there. Okay, I get it. All right. You don't want to assume they're just going to try to get field goal yardage if they can get over the top of you. So you're making sure. Okay, great. I think you probably were trying to make sure on the 64-yard and he just ran away from you, but whatever. You're taking precautions. Okay. But Wallace and I even understand everybody being sort of weighted towards the other side of the formation because there's three receivers lined up on the right, and so Milano is shading that way. Edmonds is over there, and so are Johnson and Dane Jackson, and that makes sense. What Levi Wallace is doing there, how he is not instructed, if that formation, or maybe he is and he just brain locked, I don't know, but if that formation, they come out of the huddle and Travis Kelce is the only eligible receiver on his side of the formation. What you're doing guarding a zone there and not just going right to him, I just don't understand. It's one of the least sensible things I've ever seen in a football game. I just don't understand what he was doing or what he was told to do or what. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yep. So that's it. There's details from this game that will live on for years as we're discussing. There's also, like, the season, and the season was bumpy for a team this good. They routed everybody that wasn't in their class, but they lost all the close ones, and that's how this ends. Okay, luck, right? Next year, they'll go 5-1 in one-score games. 2 years ago, they went 5-1 in one-score games, or last year. This year, 1-5, or 0-5, whatever. It happens all the time in the NFL. Announcers are always giving credit to teams that win those games. I'm sitting here going, yeah, next year they won't with the same people. But that only goes so far. I make that point all the time because no one does. And it's right. But it doesn't mean anything. If you won 5 coin flips in a row, it doesn't mean you're going to lose the 6th one. And they're not being able to win, not even just this game, but one of the other ones. Jacksonville. That's the one. Jacksonville means you're playing at home. So, maybe all the difference. Who knows? But it's over. And we will go over this game a lot for days, if not weeks. That'll be fun. And then, in the process, get to the decisions, right? They'll have decisions to make, players and coaches, and there'll be changes. 803-0550 to reach us. We'll get to your calls. We have Eric Wood, as always, Mondays at 4. As always, it's probably the last time. For a while. And so we'll talk to him then and get his thoughts on last night, which, you know, unforgettable. Imagine being there. Just what an experience. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR.
It's a pretty common defense in a situation like that. The defense will try and take away the sideline throws, kind of give you more of the seams and the middle of the field open. That and they're soft enough so you can get a head start. And I just told them right before, they called a timeout right before we went out there and ran that play. And I told them I'm probably not going to run the route that it's called. I'm just going to run to the open area. And probably midway through his cadence, he was screaming at me at the line of scrimmage, do it. Like, do it, do it. And I was just like, all right, here we go, boys.
Travis Kelce does in the Bills again. Last year, a massive game in the playoff meeting, and then also last night, including the game winner in overtime. Before we get to your calls here, just quickly, Bulldog, since it's, of course, on everybody's minds or many people's minds, the overtime rules. I guess we're that team this year. You know, we're the Saints of a few years ago that had a bad call in the playoffs, so we had to change the rules. I guess the Bills are that team.
Yeah.
They might. You know, they might.
They might, yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty passive about it, I would say.
Me too.
I don't like the appearance of being someone leading the charge complaining about it because it burned us. I mean, I just don't that does not work with my, you know, with the way I try to do this or the way I try to think. But I'm open to making it better. I mean, if you know, objectively, people watching that game were let down much the same way they would have been let down when other overtime games, this happened to Peyton Manning. It's happened. It's happened. Teams happened to the Chiefs a few years ago. They wanted to change the rules after that, and it got shot down. So, I mean, if there's a way to make it more equitable, maybe even just for the playoffs as opposed to making it for the regular season too, you know, I'm listening, but I'm not carrying the flag for anybody on that.
Much the same here. I don't want extra innings. I don't want the college format. The scores just get stupid, and I'm not interested in that. I like the drama of this more. But if you want to incentivize something else in your game to determine who gets the ball in overtime rather than a coin toss, that could be interesting, and, you know, maybe there'd be some creative ideas like that. Maybe that's something that happens in the regular season. Maybe, I don't know, like something you want to sort of steer teams toward. Maybe that is what determines this. Even just like home field. I saw that on Twitter today again. If you've earned that in the regular season, right? Something else to give you an advantage if the game gets to that point. It's not, I don't love it, that, or any one of these ideas, really. But just like you said, if you want to tweak it, go ahead. Just don't, I don't want to be here all night. Part of what's great about all this is how it stacks up against history. Is this the greatest game of all time, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That's a fun and interesting conversation. I'd have it. But you go crazy just changing that, then, I don't know, it kind of almost ruins the other discussion, or it can. So, I don't know. Bottom line is I feel the way you do, which is like, okay, I'm not outraged. You know, the end of the game, end of regulation, now, you know, let's talk about that.
Like, I'm less inclined to be upset about the overtime rules because of how they got to overtime. You know, and again, that doesn't mean, like, if I weren't as upset about that, that I'd be upset about the overtime rules. I mean, I don't think so. I try not to react that way. But like, I'm listening. I'd say I'm open-minded, but it's just not my cause today. My problem is there were 13 seconds to go, and I had three plays in a row where the wrong choices were made, and that cost me more than – I mean, I know literally the coin flip, you know, fine, but you shouldn't have never got there.
Let's take some calls. Here's Tom with us. Hi, Tom.
Bulldog stole a little bit of my thunder there with Kelsey. But two things I don't understand. The two best receivers on the Chiefs team, obviously, Tyreek Hill and Kelsey, and those are the guys that beat us at the end. And there wasn't anyone anywhere near them, especially when Kelsey was waved inside. Why didn't Levi Wallace come inside with him, try to get over him instead of letting him go straight down the field? Again, the shortest distance between two points, straight line. And I don't know on the second play if you guys observed the line or not, but Jerry Hughes made a great move inside before the pass was thrown. Had a clear path, like a half a step from the quarterback. If Kelsey had been delayed even slightly, he would have hit him. Whether he would have brought him down or not, he certainly would have hit him and interfered with the pass. And then one more point on McDermott. Early in the game, he went for it on fourth and two from somewhere around the 45, 46 yard line, his own 45, 46, which I thought was great. And I'm a McDermott guy, by the way, which I thought was great. But then later in the quarter, and he made it, obviously, later in the quarter, he had a fourth and less than one from his own 39. And did not go for it. Well, what's the difference in 8 yards? You're going to go for it in one case, and the game was tied in both instances, 0-0 and 7-7. Why don't you go for it a second time, especially when you only have a quarter of the distance that you had before?
I think I know. I'm not sure I know, but I think I know.
I think the line of scrimmage on that second one's the 34, not the 39, if you care about the 5 yards.
Yeah, I want to make sure we get that right. Also, yeah. fourth and one at their 34. It's the third quarter. It's 14 all.
Yeah.
That play. Yeah. It's not 7-7. It's 14 all in the third quarter. Okay. I think, Coach, I could go long, but I don't want to because there's so much to talk about and people are waiting. Sean McDermott is not in the minority as a coach who thinks, okay, show me the numbers. Coaches have moved a great distance toward the numbers. It's not what they know. And they also they tend to think, my experience matters here too. And so I've got a game where Kansas City is not going off offensively. It's the third quarter and it's 14 all. My defense is playing well or something. So let's kick it. The game changed. In the beginning, he might have walked in the door thinking we got to score on every possession like last week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the numbers don't really care about that. And there is an argument that that's what the fault is in the stats. So your question is sort of like you have a logical question, which is like, well, why would you go on fourth and two and not fourth and one, right? Do the yards make that much of a difference? I don't think it's the yards. It's a little bit the yards. It's different. I think it's midfield versus the 34. So it's
right.
Somewhat significant.
That's significant. That's 16 yards. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think there's more to it. I think coaches still feel like they should be counted on in those situations, to say the least. So that's my guess. Here is Mickey.
On the other stuff,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah. No, sure? I was just going to say the Hughes observation is a good catch. Watching that play over and over and over again, eventually I got around to realizing that Hughes was a fraction of a second from making a hit. And I think the caller's assertion that if Kelsey had been just even bumped at the line of scrimmage, you could have had a different result on the play.
All right. Good job. Thank you, Tom. Mickey is next. Hello. Mickey. No. Okay. That one said lost the game in the third quarter anyway, so I don't know. Maybe Mickey stepped off. Let's go to John instead. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. I want to ask how you're doing today. I can imagine. I wanted to hearken back to about a week and a half ago, and it's fourth down analytics. And I came in halfway through the conversation or the segment, if you will. And, Mike, you were saying that there was a situation where a team should go on it. I believe it was fourth and six from, like, their own 16 or 18. And the next caller called in and said, that's ridiculous. And you said, well, the numbers back it up. And I'm not going to argue with you about it, but I just wondered where those numbers come from. Is there a way people can go and have a look at that kind of stuff?
Sure, yes. I mean, more and more different accounts, models are working those stats all the time. More and more access to win probability and things like that. So, you know, you want the internet. You know, you want Twitter, and you can find your way to those people. Seth Walder at ESPN, Brian Burke, Ben Baldwin. There are lots of them. Okay, thanks. Here is Peter next. Hi, Peter.
Yeah, I was calling about that overtime. You were saying you're not too much interested in it. But only one problem with it. I felt terrible how we lost the game with that touchdown. Mm-hmm. Weren't able to get the ball back to score, try to score mm-hmm. another touchdown to match it. But I have a problem with the fact that they allow, if we had won the coin toss and we had given up a safety, we could have lost the game. I have a problem with that.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
If we had won the coin toss and gone on offense and have given up a safety to Kansas City, we could have lost the game according to the rules.
Okay.
Well, I have a problem with that. Because that's 2 points. If you kick a field goal, which is 3 points, you still get the opportunity to match that field goal.
Okay. Well, I mean, it did not apply last night, but thanks for letting us know how you feel about it. Here's Mike next. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Not even going to ask how you're doing, because if it's anything like me, it's not well, so I'll just get right to it.
It's okay. Everybody, hey, look, it's okay. It's not like every other time anybody has ever asked us that, the answer is interesting anyway, right? Like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Mike. It's cool.
Yeah, we're
fine.
We're cool.
Nah, we're fine.
I appreciate you guys. I enjoy listening to you every day. It's funny, growing up, my dad would always have you guys on the radio, and I would always be like, again.
I'm starting to get that.
In my 30s.
I am starting to have friends whose fathers listen to the show. Yeah. That's starting to freak me out.
I can't. It's like, I appreciate your guys' analysts. I love being with you throughout the entire year. It's been a great year, even though. Here's my thing, right? So I get
thank
the whole
you.
Overtime.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I love the whole year with you guys. I look forward to it every day. So I get the whole overtime thing. Listen, I feel like if people are mad about the whole overtime, you're mad at the wrong things, right? You're the number one defense in the league, and you're going up against a team that you've already held in check earlier in the year, right? Kelce was healthy then. Hill was healthy then. Mahomes was healthy then. There's really not much, I feel. I understand throughout the year you change and adapt schemes to try to match up so you can get further and further, and you learn from mistakes. But listen, if the reality of it is, like, not much really changed on our defense. I understand Trey was gone, but we run a zone scheme here. We're not man-on-man here. So it's like you were able to keep them in check earlier in the year. You held these guys down, but now 13 seconds left, you're the number one defense. I need my number one defense to show up in 13 seconds. And this whole thing about Kelce and Mahomes is improvisation. You didn't think that, like, why are we locking off the sidelines when they have three timeouts? I don't know. I'm just like, I got to vent. This is how I cope. I know some people like to get off the grid. I got to go. I got to relive this, and I have to understand and ask these questions. I feel like Leslie Frazier, Sean McDermott, I like both these guys. I like them. I think they're doing a great job. But I feel like somebody's got to step up and take responsibility and explain why they did that. Kelce and Mahomes are just going out there playing backyard football with 13 seconds left against the number one defense, and they're able to do it. That's unheard of. That's ridiculous.
Yep. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Don't you do you, but don't stare at the sun for too long. Because I just don't – I don't know. I think, like, we'll go through today, and I don't know, however many more days that I'll be feeling like this, and that I'll sense that many of you are feeling like this. But I don't think we're going to find an answer. They blew it. I like Sean McDermott a lot. I think very highly of Leslie Frazier. They blew it. That's it. They blew it. It happens.
You know,
I don't know that there's a better explanation than that. They blew it.
Well, okay, yeah. This was sort of bugging me last night, that because these press conferences are often just the worst. I mean, especially when it's Zoom time, because, you know, how congratulations on the win, have a nice flight, nice to see you. You get a lot of that, and that just, you know, how are we doing? Oh my God, I can't stand any of that. But, you know, it sort of makes sense when it's a Zoom call. I was just like, I tweeted it, please don't have this whole thing be about feelings. All the questions about what did you say to the team? How does everybody feel? What do you think? Does that even really need to be written down? Can we all just assume they feel awful? Like, ugh. Let's talk plays. Let's talk decisions. And so eventually there were a couple of questions that actually mattered about what was decided. And he just squirms away. He thinks it's disloyal. And, you know, well, he's not alone in that. He thinks he's being disloyal if he's going to tell you whose fault it was. Why not a squib kick? Well, we consider all those things, guys. You know, well, we talk about everything. That's always, you get one of those every week. We talk about everything. Why didn't you do it? Like, well, he's going to either have to say, you know, something specific about someone else, the kicker, the special teams coach, you know. I thought this, if he's going to say, this is why I wanted to kick it deep, he's going to have to defend that, and maybe he's not, like, really fully prepared to do that. You know, there's a lot to sort out. It's a very emotional moment. I can understand. But his move is, I'm just not going to tell you. It's too bad, because it seems to me a lot of people care about this, you know, and would like to know that. They invest a lot of time and energy into the Bills. So it might be nice to know, like, what actually happened there, and I still don't either. But his way is to protect and keep it inside, because somebody's going to look bad, maybe even him. And that's what he tries to avoid. That's why they are. That's why he is that way. He just doesn't want to blame anybody. And I think he's very well respected as a coach. I think we all would know that. And this is part of it, because he's not going to go up to the press conference even after the season ends and say, like, yeah, that guy should have been over here, you know?
Yeah.
He might not even know all of that yet. I mean, it goes so fast. And I'm not making excuses for him. It's just like you get asked that. We're in that business, like talking and having to answer questions. And sometimes, like, it's kind of – it just moves. It moves kind of fast. So – at least he did get asked about it last night. He may have been asked about it again today. Like, what about those coverages, the squib kick? Eventually, somebody's going to tell you. Eventually, somebody's going to be, you know, probably anyway. Like, what were they supposed to not kick it through the end zone? I don't have that yet.
Nope.
But it's possible. It's possible that it was a mistake.
Yeah, it's possible somebody gets a hold of Bass at some point and he says, yeah, actually they told me to try to pop it up and land it somewhere around the 5-yard line and I hit it too hard.
Which would be
a reasonable enough explanation. But it would at least tell you that they had what I would consider to be a better idea than just kicking it through the end zone and not forcing Kansas City to use any time at all without Patrick Mahomes on the field. Like, that's the point of the kickoff. Like, I know you got to worry about them running it back, and you got to worry. There are things that, you know, in some order that you would prioritize. To me, the number one reason to keep that ball in play and not kick it through the end zone is to allow time to go by without Patrick Mahomes having the ball in his hands.
Makes sense to me. I was on team kick it deep last night myself, but it does make sense to me, you know, now. I hope that's allowed. Still, you should have won anyway. Eric, yes. Wood coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR. Welcome back, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, after just excruciating loss, Bills go down to the Chiefs, second year in a row in the playoffs. One of the best games any of us has ever seen, I would think. That might be safe to say. We'll be talking with fans throughout the day, but not right now. Eric Wood coming up. We just have a minute here. I think I lost every bet this weekend. Is that something I'm allowed to say? Got to be real, right? I think I lost every bet. I bet the Bills on the money line after the Chiefs went up 9 last night because, like, tons of game left. I believe in them. They're going to start to throw it now. They're going to go on fourth now because they have to, and that's what they need. Someone's got to make them do it sometimes. So how'd that go? Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. I mean, just how did that go? But guess what didn't happen? They didn't win.
They didn't win, right? So you didn't win.
You know, there was one where you could get the Bills to win the game at plus 200, one of these introductory offers, lost that. Lost on Tennessee over, lost on Ryan Tannehill, touchdown, lost on Green Bay to make the Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't think I won a single bet.
Lost on the Tannehill Super Bowl.
I hit on the Rams. I hit on the Rams. That was it. Just on the money line to win. That was it.
That got interesting.
Yeah, it did. It for sure did. Yeah, it didn't seem like it should have been, but it did.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Joe had the Bills-Rams Super Bowl matchup that's dead. And I had Ryan Tannehill another year of win the Super Bowl someday, and that is dead.
I would have been spending that money as though I already had it. Like, the Niners and the Bengals were Garoppolo and the Bengals were not getting in the way of that bet.
That was great.
13 seconds got in the way of that bet.
That was before the season.
Right.
Bills versus Rams. Bills at Rams.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, come on.
I mean, they don't even – I mean, their fans aren't even there for the home games. How many Rams fans are going to be there at the Super Bowl?
Okay, I don't need to argue about that one. Eric Wood, when we return, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.